Hey, my name is Michael Trepea. I serve here as the campus pastor, and we are grateful that you are here worshiping with us. If I don't know about you, but the words that I heard in that last song is like day and night, night and day. Actually, that wasn't the last song, but the fact is the song that we just sang about you deserve the glory. That's the praise of our heart, and that's the heartbeat of who we are as a community of faith here, that our mission is to be and make disciples, not for ourselves, not for Grace Community, but for the glory of God. Because he is the one who deserves the glory, not us. And so we gather as a vehicle to make him known, to make our hearts encouraged, to then go out to the world to be and make disciples for the glory of God. So that is the church family that you are being a part of. If you're new with us, we just want to say welcome. We would love to connect with you. And one of the ways we do that is you'll see on the back of your seats, there's a connect QR code on the back of your seats. We'd love for you to scan that and fill that out or go out to our guest services just as a way to say, hey, we'd love to connect with you as you move throughout your next steps as it relates to the family of faith here. And so it's just a way for us to connect with you. One of the things I want to put before us before we start today is, hey, we don't want to just be a people that pray. We want to be a people of prayer. And so when we say we want to know what prayer requests you have, it's not just something we say, just like Kyle said, just rote. We don't want to make it rote. We believe wholeheartedly we need to be a people of prayer. And so we'd love to pray alongside you. We have a team ready to pray. And if you have prayer requests, we would love to know them. Or if you have praise about how God has moved and worked, we want to know those too. And so we'd love to pray alongside you. And we have a team beginning to gather at 8:30, praying over our services, praying over the Spirit working in our midst. And if you want to be a part of that, hey, come at 8:30. I know that's early for the 11 o'clock, but you can come a little early sometimes, right? But we want to invite you into that, especially as we move towards becoming a people of prayer as a culture of a people. So we'd love for you to join us in that. A few things we want to put before you announcement-wise. We have, I think, about four announcements, so I'm going to try to get through them all and remember them all. One of them is this. You see a big old bus in the runway coming in here. That's Carter Blood Care. We believe here in being a people of mission, and one of the ways we do that is to reach our local community. And giving blood is a way that we can tangibly just meet that need here in our local community. So if you have some time after service, or you want to just be like, hey, I don't want to listen to him today, you can go out there now and do that as well. But it's just a way we can be on mission to reach our local community in a very tangible and easy way. So I'd love for you to think about that after you leave. As well. Next week, we have a women's retreat, and that is November 1st and 2nd at Sky Ranch. This is for anyone 18 and older, any woman 18 and older. It's $130, but it's a way, an environment for 2 days just to be with other women, to be encouraged in community. And if money is an issue for that, we have scholarships as well. But it's just something to put before you as we continue to equip the saints for the work of ministry to be in community together. So we want to put that opportunity before you. You can register in the app, or you can meet with McKenna, our UB Women's Coordinator as well, that have any details answered for you as well. Also, next, on November 1st, we have, I'm going to try to get this right, Pollard Park Paddle Palooza. There we go. I think I actually got it. November 1st at 6:30. The cool thing about this is not a Grace-specific event. This is college and young adult people and ministers throughout the area getting together to create an environment for people to be together, young adults and college kids to have fun, and just to be together to encourage the community of faith here. And so we want to invite you, if you're college or young adult, to come to that at 6:30. There'll be food trucks, there'll be time, games in general, but again, just to be encouraged in the faith. And this is our people throughout our community, churches, different ministries partnering together to create this environment to happen. So we want to put that before you as well. And also on November 10th, there's for men, our ministry to men, we have an opportunity to gather at our OJ campus for this Get in the Game at 3 o'clock. I'm not a Cowboys fan, so sorry if I've turned you off already by saying that statement, but we're going to be watching a Cowboys game together and just eating together. So food and football are good makeup components to be together in community. Join us if you have the time on November the 10th. But just want to put these opportunities before you before I start. And so, hey, it's been a few weeks since I've been here teaching. There's been a lot of things happening in my life, in our life as a family. And so about 12 days ago, our son, Abram Joseph, was welcomed into this world. And so we are grateful because it's a story that I'll talk about later that God has written that we've been anticipating and hopeful for this day. And I said I wouldn't be that guy that would show a picture, but I'm going to show a picture anyways. So this is our picture of our son, Abram Joseph. And Mama is doing well. She's healing up. She's sick, but getting better. Aurora is so proud. That's our 10-year-old daughter. She's so proud and adjusting to the newness of now sharing attention, so that's fun. But we are actually getting sleep. I got 6 hours last night, so here we go. People always ask, hey, are you getting sleep? Yeah, I got sleep one night. But here we go. So I'll take it for today. But we are just grateful. Grateful for your prayers along the way, for those who've been praying. And just continue to pray as we navigate this newness with this new life that is a gift towards us. So thank you for being a part of our story. These past few weeks, we've had an opportunity to hear from Jacob Helmezzi, our campus development pastor, Kirk Hudson, our executive pastor of operations here, and also Max Heller 2 weeks ago. And it's a gift to have a team that teaches, that has the giftedness to teach our own. And we have a staff that meets our needs, that provide opportunity for you to serve. And I'm just grateful for them because we are better that ministry is not based on one person. The church is not based on one communicator. It's based on a family of people serving together. And right now, we have 40 people in the second week of membership saying, hey, I'm raising my hands. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing and membering together as this community of faith. And that is a good thing. That is the way God has designed his church to be, not based on one person, but all putting their hands together, their giftings together, and saying, hey, it's about making Jesus known within our family. So we have a lot of good things and blessed by a great team here. So I just want to say I'm grateful for them. And so these past 2 weeks, we found ourselves examining the life of Abraham. And I promise his name wasn't planned just because we're doing a series this week. We had Abram's name was given, we felt 8 years ago, and it just so happened to fall on this teaching week, which I don't think is a coincidence. I don't think it just happened. God was preparing our hearts for the story we are going to be leaning into today. And so Max pointed out this idea 2 weeks ago when he, in Genesis 12, about God giving Abram the covenant to leave everything he's known. To leave his land, to leave his people, to leave his comfort, to follow God. And what was the big idea from that time? It was not for Abram to build his own kingdom, but for Abram to follow and build God's kingdom. That was the big idea coming out of that. And last week, Kirk talked about in Genesis 17 this idea how that Abram and Sarai were given new identities to Sarah and Abraham to walk in faithful obedience to the covenant God had. They didn't see the picture, they didn't understand it, but they walked in faithful obedience to what God has said. Because God's grace and his mercy were the things that kept that. And so Abraham walked in faithful obedience to what God had planned, even though he didn't see the full picture. And so today we're going to be arriving on the scene of Genesis 22 and talking about this idea of testing, how God tested Abraham. How many of you know that true faith isn't just easy? Faith isn't just easy up and to the right. If just a heads up, if you've been told that you accept Jesus and life just gets exponentially better all the time and you never have any issues, you've been lied to. Oftentimes, true faith is met with testing and trials, but now we hold to something different. We hold with hope. And so within Scripture, there is two types of testing that is put before us. One, God testing his people. God testing his people. And that's to what? That's to reprove and understand where their loyalty and trust lies. And on the other end, oftentimes, with the second way Scripture testing has, people test God. And really, that's a reflection of their heart and their disloyalty to the God of the universe who we've been understanding throughout these weeks of Genesis. And so we're going to understand about testing. And testing is hard, and sometimes we don't know why God would allow things to happen. You know, maybe that job not to come, who you are in your identity, that person to be lost, finances to be in rough shape. But today we will read a story of how God tested Abraham in a way with the most important thing in his life, with his son Isaac. And this testing would be a revealer for Abraham and would cause him to have an opportunity to remember who God was in the midst of the test. So we're going to read together today. If you would open to Genesis 22, we're going to start off reading verses 1 through 10. It's on the screen for you. It says this: After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb of a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. Verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. I don't know about you, but that's a heavy scene, right? So up until this point, we see this in Genesis 17, God reinforced the covenant with Abraham and Sarah, giving them a new identity, saying, "Hey, you will get your dream of an heir in a miraculous way through your 99 and 90-year-old bodies. I will make a way, and the covenant of blessing will be established through your direct heir, not Ishmael, but their own heir in flesh." And flash forward, Genesis 21, God visited Sarah, the Lord opened her womb, Isaac was conceived, and he was born to them. Their deepest dream and desire was realized. Their deepest joy in the midst of a life of barrenness and hurt and question. And now we arrive at this scene. Now we arrive at this test with Isaac, who's a young man, probably around 15 to 30 years old. So he's not like a young child. Someone who has strength, and God tests Abraham. And what's the test? Take the thing you so deeply have desired, the dream that you have, the deepest joy you longed for, the miracle God promised and said the covenant would be through, and kill him. Kill him. Sacrifice him. Now, I don't know about you, but I have two kids, and that's a heavy task. Kill him. It doesn't make sense. This was a test put before Abraham. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, I was a nerd in school, in high school, and I loved tests. That's weird to say, but I loved tests. And why did I love them? Because they were easy for me. I was one of those kids, those nerds in school who couldn't know what the content was, remember on the page where it was. You don't actually remember the actual information. You just remember where the stuff is on the page, and you perform for the test, and then I'd forget it. That's just how I functioned. But I remember there was a test in high school, which all you science people, God bless you, I don't have that muscle in me. AP Physics, it was the worst. But I said, I don't really need to study. I don't really need to study for this final state test. And so I get to the test, I get to the questions, and I'm just Hail Mary in answers at this point. And I feel so out of place. It was a test, and it revealed something. It revealed what I didn't know, and I got an extremely bad grade. And it revealed that I put my identity in how I performed. It revealed that I put my identity in something that was based on how I could measure up and add up. And now, looking back at that, that was an inconsequential thing in the grand scheme of things, but it was a revealer of where I was and where I wasn't. And that is what tests do. You see, God was testing Abraham to reveal the authenticity of his faith. It was to reveal what he truly trusted, to reveal what he truly loves. And Abraham went. He went this three-day journey, and I'm sure he had doubt along the way, right? You can't get this request from God to kill your only son and walk forward and be like, yeah, that's great, let's do this, right? There was doubt and question along the way. And it's interesting because Eastern religions during this time, child sacrifice was a normal thing. And so we oftentimes look at it from our lens and like, how could Abraham just go do that? But it was not outside of the cultural moment for child sacrifices to happen, but it's outside of the character of God that Abraham had come to know. How is this going to happen when you've promised the son and you've given him to me? This doesn't make sense, but Abraham went. And here's what Abraham's example shows us today, that testing reveals what our trust rests in. Testing reveals what our trust is resting in. You see, throughout Scripture, God uses testing and trials as a revealer in the lives of his children. What do we open up this series in Genesis with? God created Adam and Eve in his image, and he said, hey, you can eat of anything you want, except this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't do that. It's best if you don't. Trust me. That was a test. Abraham offering up his son Isaac doesn't make sense. Test. God testing the Israelite people as he had just freed them from Egyptian bondage and walking in the wilderness. Are you going to trust me to provide every need you have, the food you have? Test. Flash forward to Jesus, what does he do? It says before he went into full-on ministry, what does he do? It says the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Test. The rich young ruler. What does Jesus say? Hey, sell everything you have. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me. Test. Disciples going out. And Jesus says, hey, go out, perform miracles in my name. I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. Test. And this idea within even Christian bubble, it says, hey, God won't give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. Just a heads up, he often does. Why? To see and reveal where your heart is truly worshiping that is other than him. Let me ask you something. I want you to recall a time where you were tested, where you're walking through a trial. How did that feel at the beginning? Does it feel good? Did it cause you to question who God was, his character? How could God allow this to happen in my life? Was that your heart's posture at the beginning of it? Maybe where is your faith being tested today? Maybe a loss of a loved one, like I've said. Some of us are walking in that here. Maybe a question, a situation that you've been praying for that you don't see God answering. Maybe unfulfilled dreams about how you expected life should be based on your plans. A broken relationship, or maybe you've just been blind to testing happening because you're in love with the world more than you are with God. Testing is a revealer of what our trust is resting in. And God allows testing in our lives to reveal and reorient our trust. He allows them to reveal and reorient our trust. I shared at the beginning, I briefly share with you my story, and this truth is applicable to my story and my wife's story. You see, we got married in 2012, and 2 years in, we got the opportunity, got pregnant right away with Aurora. Beautiful blessing. It just so happened. We were the first of our friend group to have a kiddo, and it just happened. And we kind of took it for granted. And fast forward 10 years in, we haven't had another kid for multiple reasons. Well, infertility, many 6 years there, multiple miscarriages along the way. And there was question, there was grieving, there was understanding. Like this story doesn't feel good. The story doesn't feel like it's good. God, I question God at times. It just was a part of the testing and the trial and walking through. Here's what, about 2 years ago, God revealed to my heart about how I've been walking. I was trusting in my expectation of what my family should be rather than resting in what God's idea of my family should be. I was resting in me having a good marriage, two or three kiddos, and that was going to be my hope. That was going to be my trust. Rather than, hey, God, here's my family. Here's my family construction. You tell me, you inform me, and let me walk in this along the way with what you have. It was revealing what I was truly worshiping, and it was something other than God. It was my ideas. And God was allowing the trial and testing to reveal that in my heart. And so when October 15th, 12 days ago happened, I'm an emotional dude, so if I cry, which I do often up here because of what Jesus has done, I thought that was going to be my response when Abram was born into the world. But when he was born at 12:34 on October the 15th, here's what happened. I didn't cry. But there was a spiritual moment when I saw him come into the world, whereas my soul exhaled. My soul exhaled because what I was walking through, the trial and testing that I was walking through, and the grief and the question, it all came full circle. When my soul for the first time exhaled all of that out, and it was such a beautiful, poignant moment in it. I mean, here's what I realized. I'm holding my son after the fact, and I realize he's not mine. I'm holding this life in my hands that God graciously gave, and I realize he is not mine, because 2 years ago, I would have said, this is my child. Aurora is mine. My heart would be saying that. But what God helped me realize through the test, through the trials, is that he helped me realize it's all about him and not about me. That is what testing and trials, it reveals and reorients our hearts through what? To find joy in God alone and not ourselves and our situations. This is why the story of Abraham is so amazing. It reveals Abraham's true faith and where it purely lied. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 reveals this exact thought where it says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This is the promise that God gave to Abraham. In verse 19, it says, he considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. He didn't understand why. He didn't understand how this plan could come to fruition. He didn't understand the situation of why he had to kill his own son, but he believed in God. And he said, God can even raise my son from the dead, even though I don't understand why he would allow this. In the test, in the trial of walking 3 days, Moriah, and tying up his son to the branches, having to remain calm while his son put the story together, Abraham's heart was revealed that he trusted in the promises of God greater than his understanding, his questions, his dreams, and he was faithfully obedient. Some of us in this room are being tested and tried and walking in hard stories today. Walking in question today about how God could allow this thing to be going on. Maybe it's kids that are far from the Lord. Maybe it's an identity that you're trying to find apart from God your way. Maybe it's in the loss of someone or something, or maybe it's just in general where you're just relational brokenness. We are walking in question today and being tested. And if we aren't walking in them, heads up, you will be at some point. You will encounter it at some point. And if you're being honest with yourself, how are you responding to God in that test and trial today? How are you walking through that? Are you walking with the faith that Abraham said that even if this doesn't make sense, God, this doesn't make sense that you would allow this, but I still trust you. Are you walking in that way, or are you walking in frustration, worry, and hopelessness? How you can tell how you're walking through a test or trial is look at the contents of your prayers. Are you praying for your outcome? Are you praying for your things to happen? Not saying we can't bring our requests to God, but are we saying, God, please have your will to play out through this test and trial rather than my way. Refine me, reveal where my heart is amiss, and help me to be drawn to your goodness. The contents of our prayer shows how we're walking through testing and trials today. Abraham's faithful human walk in offering up his dream, his son, in obedience should be a catalyst for us to ask the question, how am I walking through this trial, this test? In faith in God's ability or faith and in my ability. God's testing of his children is a grace that refines and reveals our hearts' true worship. Secondly, testing is an opportunity to remember who God is. It's an opportunity to remember who God is. Verses 11 through 14 reveal this. After he got done taking the knife and is ready to kill his son Isaac, what does it say? It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. I know that you trust me, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Or other translations, the Lord who sees. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So here we are, like I said, Abraham is ready to kill his son, his one and only son, and he's stopped by the angel. This test reveals who he's truly worshiping. But then the Lord, he provides a ram. He provides a sacrifice in place of his son. And what does Abraham call that place? He remembers about God that the Lord will provide. He remembers that this place is the Lord that sees. And why is this significant? Because in the presence of testing and trials, Abraham remembers who God is. Sees that what he believed about God's character in providing and God did. That God sees him and is with him. And God's test of Abraham was an opportunity to remember who God is. My question is, when you get into testing, what do you stare at more? The test or the God who holds it? Do you stare at the test or the God who holds it? And this would be a reminder, the story of Abraham offering up Isaac would be a reminder for the Hebrew people. That you're going into a new land. You're going to face tests and trials. And are you going to hold to the way you think things should go? Or are you going to remember me and how I've taken you out of Egypt? How I've rescued you from bondage? How I've provided for you along the way? Are you going to hold to me and remember me? Or are you going to hold to your own self and your own ways? It's an opportunity to remember. You see, one of my favorite characters, not characters, but people of faith within our world is, I don't know if you know her, her name is Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was, she was a Christian during World War II in the Netherlands who, along with her family, she hid Jews from the Nazis during the German occupation, upwards of 800 people building a place in their home and hiding them from the Nazis. And she was revealed by someone of her own people in the area to be harboring, and she went into testing herself. She had met trials herself, and she said this statement. She said, if God has shown us bad times ahead, it's enough for me to know for me that he knows about them. That's why he sometimes shows us things, you know, to tell us that this too is in his hands. What she is stating is that the trials she has seen and what may come has afforded her an opportunity to remember God's character. Remember, God is sufficient. He's provided before, he'll provide a way out again. And remember that he is sovereign over the trial in her own life. He will provide in the testing of my life, in our lives. Christian, the testing and trial that you may be facing can often be so large and so big and so painful that it causes you to forget who God is. Causes you to not remember the countless times God has provided for you already. How he's come through in his power before. But just like Abraham, testing is an opportunity to step back, to remind ourselves of who God is and who his character is. You see, remind ourselves that God sees us and we are not alone in the pain that we face. Remind ourselves that he has provided hundreds of times before and he will again in his way and his timing. That the testing, though it may result in suffering, does not nullify God as good, but reinforces that he is sovereign, he is powerful, and he is good in spite of the circumstances we face. That our present pain and testing, as Corrie Ten Boom realized, is in the hands of a capable and loving Father. And that's why James points this truth out when he says, we can count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Here's what James is saying. He's saying that you can have joy in your test and trial, not because you are perfect and complete, but because you are in relationship with the one who is, the one who has you, the one who's all-powerful over it all. My question is, do you see your testing and trials as an opportunity to remember who God is instead of just seeing the test and the trial? You see, Abraham did. Corrie Ten Boom did. Do you? Will you remember that when you face testing or trials? So as I close, you see, Abraham's a picture of faith for us. He's a picture of faith for the Hebrew people. He's a picture of faith for us today, but he is an incomplete, still sinful human. He didn't hold to his own works, his own status. He held to the promise, that with the blessing, the seed that was to come. And the beauty of the story of Abraham and Isaac, it's a foreshadowing of a story to come where God would send his one and only son. That Abraham looked forward to this day when the hope of the world would come into the world, and it was God's only son. But here's the difference. Isaac was spared. Jesus wasn't. But this would be the story that would reclaim all stories and welcome us back into the garden. And what would it say? Jesus would come into the world. He would walk among us. He would know what suffering is. He would know what trial is. He would know what testing ultimately is. He was subjected to testing. And when he came to the garden, right before his crucifixion, what did he say? Hey, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Remove this test. Remove this trial. But what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, God tested his son, and Jesus' faith in the Father was revealed in his submission to death on a cross. Instead of sparing his own son, he crushed him. He crushed his own son because he loves you and he loves me. Because he wanted to rescue us back from our sin, our idol worship, and remind us today of who he is and hold fast to him through all tests, through all trials, through all good times in life, and through all bad times. To him be our future and present hope. Jesus is the true and better Abraham that went to death on the cross to redeem and remind us of where our hope can be if we know him. There are some in this room, many of us know the story. Maybe of us have submitted our lives to Jesus. We celebrated one baptism, and we're going to celebrate another one of someone coming from death to life, but they're not putting their faith in themselves. They're not putting their faith in Abraham or a good story. They're putting them for their faith in a living Savior, Jesus Christ. That through the trials that they will face, they're going to hold to him. And we as the church are going to come around them and support them in community. But they're holding to Jesus, the one who is alive, who's defeated sin, death, and the grave. But there's also part of us who are trusting our own story more than that one. And our call and the invitation today is, hey, repent and believe. Turn back. You have a hope today if your hope is in Jesus. And I would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you if you're walking in a test or trial that you've been walking with alone apart from him. Church, today, my question for you in light of Abraham offering up Isaac remains this. Are you enduring the tests and trials set before you with your eyes set on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, or in your own strength? Are you holding fast to Jesus in your testing or trial or to something else? And are you reminding yourself of God's character with where you find yourself, or do you only see your trial? We have a present hope, and that's Jesus in our testing and trial, and that's what keeps us and grounds us today. Not our own works, not our own sufficiency, God's goodness in the person and work of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I am grateful that we have stories of faith in the life of Abraham. I am grateful that we have a God that is present, a God that sees, a God that provides. And God, you allow trials, you give tests in our lives to refine us, to reveal where our heart's worship isn't, and reorient us to where it can be. But that is only made possible when we realize the person and work of what Jesus has done on the cross. We can only have hope when we realize it's found in the person who has overcome sin, death, and the grave and has welcomed us back into the garden relationship where we don't walk in our own strength anymore. We walk in the power of the Spirit of the living God in us. And so we don't walk without hope. We walk in hopeful understanding that we have joy now because of what we walk through, because we walk it with you in renewed hearts and renewed vision. God, I pray for us as a people that those who are hurting in our midst, that they know your joy. They know who you are, and they can walk in the midst of this remembering who you are and knowing that you're refining, revealing things to our hearts that we couldn't understand otherwise. And God, for those who are apart from you, I pray that their hearts are reminded that they cannot do this on their own. They repent of their sin, and they walk in newness of life, and they lay down in their lives in submission to this great God revealed in Jesus Christ. God, we need you, and apart from you, we can do nothing. Let us be a community of faith that walks together, reminding ourselves of Jesus and testing and trial and walk through it with hope. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.